Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast, brought to you by BetterHelp. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have, life can be pretty damn hard. And without a healthy mind, it's even harder. Check out online therapy with BetterHelp.com/toast and be on your way to a little more ease. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Good morning, Claude. You know, I've been better. If I had to categorize this day, I would say it's turning into a Cleveland day.
Jackie, I hear you. I know you've been through a lot this morning with the president being in town and the, like...
Is the president in town? It's the UN General Assembly.
Oh.
This week.
Probably both, if I had to guess.
Right. I think one precludes the other.
Therefore, like, the city turns into a hot mess, gridlock, can't get anywhere, streets closed down. But I implore you to have a different perspective on the matter, if I may.
Okay. I'm listening.
It's Monday. Mm-hmm. We're rising, we're grinding, we're hustling. This is our week. We're going to be successful, make changes, be happy. Come on, it's a Monday.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Did something happen?
Yeah, I tripped and fell on my head.
You're living in a parallel universe where you're like a positive person.
No, come on, it's Monday.
Where you're like someone who posts inspiration quotes.
We're rising and grinding. Are you not?
This morning, you know what I was? This was like the first time in a few weeks that my hair is done because I've had no energy the last 2 weeks to do it. But we had our friend Kristen's bridal shower yesterday. So my hair, I did it yesterday. And I was excited to like come here, you know, here's my hair. It's so long.
Gorgeous.
Prenatals. And I'm wearing some new maternity clothes. My shirt and my pants are both from ASOS Maternity.
Oh, did you enjoy the journey of ASOS Maternity?
I did. I also tried on a dress this morning that just... It tried me.
Okay.
I understand. What it did. And still, I kept my upbeat outlook.
Did you return the dress or are you going to keep
it?
No,
I'm not returning
You never
it.
Know.
Like, and also, maybe if it was shortened, it would be cuter. But if I wore that to the toast, like, you would take me for evaluation. You would say something happened to her.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we must check on the baby.
The pants and top are from ASOS Maternity, so I'm feeling comfortable. And then my sweater and my shoes are from Joshua Sanders, which was...
The shoes, too. What is this company? They sent you that sweatshirt. You're getting me one, and I want the shoes, okay?
Okay, but remember that time I got those pink boots that were, like, sort of like... What's the word? Like Timberlands, but like they were patent.
Yes, of course.
Okay, that brand is Joshua Sanders, and I was so excited about the boots. I posted them on my story, and then like they reached out. And so when I announced my pregnancy, they were like, we want to send you a few things.
Oh, that is so sweet. Sending tings?
They sent tings, so I got to like pick out a few tings that I wanted, including these shoes and this sweater, which I love so much.
Maybe I'll just place an order and stop like waiting for free things. Like I'll just place an order.
Well, I was going to let you borrow this sweater because I do think you would really like it.
It's
so you, like it has the smileys on
it. No, I'm telling you, you didn't hear it from me because I'm not really much of a fashion expert, but like cardigans are a thing. Like they are officially a thing and I have one. How many times can I wear this Taylor Swift merch? Like I need real cardigans. I need cashmere.
You do. So we'll hook you up.
Thank you so much. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was actually pretty good. You know, a lot of time spent with Brew.
So important.
It was productive for me considering I am the laziest bitch alive these days. Like I got a manicure.
That's nice.
And we had the bridal shower, and I did my hair.
I'm telling you, like, it is overdrive. Last week alone, I had two bridal showers and a bachelorette party. Like,
we're doing double duty.
We're doing double duty, and it's, like, the last licks of nice weather in New York. So, like, so much shit's coming up, like weddings, bridal showers. So, it is a full-time job having so many friends and being as popular as I am.
I know. I feel like nobody was as busy or popular as the Snitch. Have you been following her?
Her journey? Like, yeah, what do you mean?
She's just like out every night, up every morning. Looking gorgeous.
She's really being like an influencer.
I know. I feel so proud. Like Me a too. Proud big sister.
I saw her just like, you know, hanging out with other influencers on her Instagram. And I'm like, you go, it counts. You influence.
And then like other influencers I follow, like my little sister was coming up on their stories as I was just like cruising around. Beautiful. I'm like, go counts. She's so influential.
Well, honestly, I had such a balanced weekend because I spent Friday night doing absolutely nothing, watching so much Downton Abbey, being so at peace with myself. And then on Saturday night, I hit the town hard. I went to like my, I guess you could call it a concert, kind of.
Yeah.
Emo night?
Yeah, it's a club night. It's not a concert.
Well, Webster Hall's not a club.
Yes, it is.
No, it's a concert venue.
You couldn't just hit the clubs at Webster Hall?
No, it's like not a thing.
Hmm. Well, it's also five floors. So like, doesn't something different happen on every floor?
Is it?
That's what I've heard.
Well, whatever. I had the best time. It was emo night. You know, like Erin Guilfoy from the Vlog Squad, her fiance runs these events. It's called Emo Night LA, and they do them all over the country. And they had Ben DJ. There's like a 30-minute guest spot DJ after Carly and Erin DJ'd. And Ben like put together a playlist. And honestly, thank God for Erin, because like Ben did not know how to work the technology at all. It was so fun. It's like emo music. So, you know, like Simple Plan, like the usual 90s Semi-Charmed kind of life. Fall Out Boy, which is Ben's like favorite type of music, and honestly it's like one of my top genres. It was so fun. Like if you have a local emo night, I encourage you highly to do it.
It looked really fun.
It was so fucking fun.
I'm glad you guys had a good time.
And then I watched so much Downton Abbey, and honestly, like, I'm obsessed. Like, every minute I'm not in my bed being transported to Downton is a minute wasted of my life.
I agree. By the way, how does Theo feel about Downton? Does he love it? Because Brew loved it.
No, he doesn't have a particular, like, connection to
Even
it at
when
all.
They're hunting and the dogs.
They Brew, very rarely hunt.
When we finished Downton, Brew was inconsolable.
So I'm like nervous. I'm like at the end of season three, that means I'm about to be at four and there's only six. Like I'm really like, I need to slow down.
But then you have the movie.
I know.
And then you have the next movie coming out this Christmas that you have to look forward to. So I feel like that's a lot to look forward to.
I don't want
to
spoil anything. So if like you're thinking about watching it, just like put this on pause really quickly. But I'm about to say something that happened.
Okay. We'll give you a signal when she's done.
Oh my God. Like Lady Sybil. Dead. Death. Just childbirth over. That was so shocking. I mean, honestly, like, I think the key to a good show is, like, killing off main characters. And if somebody had to go, like, it was going to be Sybil. Like, she didn't even live at Downton. She lives in Ireland. And honestly, they were, like, so rebellious. They were starting to annoy me. Like, everything had to be, like, a problem. You know, yeah. Like, they couldn't live in England. They had to go to Ireland. They didn't want to work. He had to work in a garage, you know? He couldn't be Catholic. He couldn't be Christian. Had to be Catholic. Like, everything was, like, a fucking problem with them. And honestly, like, as much as I wanted Sybil to be her own woman, like, you have to respect your family. And she did not respect her family, honestly, at all.
I agree. I mean, you're in for so much
excitement. What, did she come back for the dead?
No. No, but, like...
But they just offered Tom a job.
Yeah.
Which, I want him to stay. Like, what is he gonna do in Liverpool with nobody? Like, everyone's there, they love you, and they're really...
And they have the baby now.
Right. And everyone is, like, growing... Tom is growing on everyone, like... The only one who really still, like, doesn't like him is the dad. Who, by the way, I kind of take back every good thing I said about. He's such a loser. Like,
he is.
No, like, he's turning into one of my least favorite characters. Like, his refusal to modernize, like, in any capacity is so frustrating. And I guess, like, the Dowager Countess also has that kind of mentality. But when she does it, it's funny.
She's
like,
fabulous about it.
But, and you know what? And she knows when she, like, can... You know,
give a little.
He's so fucking stubborn. Like, even Matthew. Like,
no, and it's like he's just stubborn for stubborn's sake. Like, whereas the Dowager is principled.
No, okay. So, like, he was absolutely kerfuffled, devastated when he lost his money. And now Matthew invested in Downton because he got the fortune from Lavinia's family. And he's looking at the paperwork and he's like, this is the most poorly run estate in the country. Like, no wonder why we have to be saved once a generation. Like, I just saved you. And honestly, if we can fix things up, like, we could be a self-sufficient estate till the end of time. Which is such a reasonable thing to say. And, it, like, literally, the dad was so devastated when he lost his money. Now that, like, Matthew saved him, he wants nothing to change. Even though Matthew's, like, literally pointing out, if we do this, we can make X. Like, it's so simple. He's so fucking stubborn. He's saying no just because it wasn't his idea. And he feels like he's being pushed out. But it's like, you know what? Maybe you should be pushed out. Oh, also Mr. Bates got out of prison. Thank God. That whole storyline was honestly dragged out.
That was a dark time.
No, and honestly, for a while, I'm like, let him rot in prison. Like, I just couldn't have cared less anymore. Like, they dragged it out way too long.
There's such drama, the two of them.
Oh, and then Thomas just got caught trying to kiss that new boy, James, who's not gay. Mm-hmm. And O'Brien, like, set the whole thing up. And I hate Thomas. When he got in trouble with Mr. Carson, like, I actually felt bad for him. Like, that's how bad Miss O'Brien, like, fucked him over.
And has that chapter closed on what's going to happen?
Mr. Carson, like, just found out.
Okay.
And it's, like, hella homophobic. It's, like, crazy that it was only, like, 100 years. Actually, 100 years is a long time. But it's just still, like, crazy. Like, the shit people used to say.
Really crazy. Keep watching.
I need Thomas out. Those
three words.
You are fired?
No. You will never guess them, but there's three words that just change the...
Really? Oh, my God. I need to get out of here. Like, I have to go. I have such a busy day. First of all, we're podcasting with a guest later. Then I'm expanding my journey to seeing the snow by Christmas. I'm seeing that apartment I sent you last night.
I'm not
optimistic at all.
I'm more optimistic about this one than the one that you saw on Friday.
So, update for the one that I saw on Friday.
It was nothing of the sort.
Okay, Jackie hated it. And, like, I didn't really love it. But every person I've been showing it to and, like, telling them the location, they're like... You have to get it. Like, I'm telling you, it's probably already gone, and they got like $1,000 over asking. Like,
your friends don't want you to be happy. I'm sorry. No. I know you so well.
The thing is,
I'm sure, like, sure, that location is great, but you also need home. You need, like,
yeah. So while the apartment wasn't ideal, there were a few things that did stand out. One, the realtor told me Dakota Fanning used to live in that apartment, the one that I actually saw, and that was exciting. Then he also told me that he's not sure if he still lives there, but John Mayer lived in the building. And that was a real exciting journey. But you know what? I couldn't tell. Like, the apartment wasn't perfect for me, but the two girls who lived there, and I'm so sorry to put them on blast, like, they were slobs. I could not believe, like, how people were living. And they had pictures of themselves. What is that? Is there a man behind you?
No.
Oh. There was, like, pictures of themselves everywhere. And I'm like, these are literally gorgeous girls. Like, tidy up. You have company. And maybe I didn't like the apartment because it was a pigsty.
Because I'm not even thinking of their sty. I'm thinking of the floor plan. It was just nothing of the sort. It was a downgrade from your apartment now. Like, you, I don't know what you're doing, honestly. Okay. You're just like...
There's such low inventory. Like, I have lowered my bar significantly.
But you can't lower your bar below your current apartment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? Like, what's the point?
I guess because I'm moving to, like, a different area.
Yeah.
Like, prices vary per area.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm seeing another one today. I don't have high hopes, but I do like the area. But, like, honestly, this apartment appears to be nothing of the sort. But, like, I have to start actively looking. I have to start manifesting, like, that.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
I'll be here along the way, you know, giving you my honest feedback.
You're welcome to come.
As I always do. I will come when I think it's the one.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Because, like, you know, that's, I can't make a decision. That's a long car ride for a pregnant, nauseous lady.
No, I will not subject you to any torture until the timing is right.
Thank you very much. As for me, I watched a show called Wolf Hall on Friday and Saturday. It was only 6 episodes. It's about Henry VIII and, like, Thomas Cromwell. Star-studded, of course, Claire Foy, Damian Lewis, you know, all the people. It was like a mixture of Game of Thrones and The Crown.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, literally Sir Richard Carlyle being Jorah from Game of Thrones. Remember how Mary always marries that? Yeah.
No, you'll start to notice that the same folks start to show up.
Yeah, there's a British acting crew that, like, all act in the same shit.
Yes, and if Downton, like, sparks a historical journey for you, you'll see your old friends around.
Delightful.
Yeah, and then I started last night Outlander.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody tells me to watch it because it's, like, historical.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and it's, like, a bit of time travel. And I'm 3 episodes in. Everyone said, someone said to me that the first 2 episodes are, like, so slow. If you get through them, you'll love the show. And I agree. They were slow, but, like, I'm into it. And then someone else said, only the first 4 episodes are good, and then the rest will traumatize you.
What?
Which there's, like, 5 seasons.
That's crazy.
So I'm just going to, you know, take it at my own pace, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's nice to have, like, I have a show to look forward to every single day. I'm probably never going to read again because I'm just watching Outlander.
No, I'm done with my Kindle. Like, Downton Abbey is the only thing I need ever for the rest of my life. Like, it's so fucking good. I wish there was 10 seasons.
I know.
I could watch even, like, the most boring shit, like, you know, nonsensical drama.
You think that, and then you'll watch the movie.
Oh,
and yeah. You'll say, you know what? Enough is enough.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, but it's good. It makes you, like, want to be done with it.
Yeah. Well, we have a great show because not only is it, you know, Monday, five Fast Five Stories, the Emmys were on last night, lots to discuss, mm-hmm. but also Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Potomac were on last night. So we have a big, fat, juicy TV recap for you at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. And if that's all, I think I am personally ready to put my swimming cap on and dive in.
I agree. Oh, I guess this is an alert that the Downton spoiler is over.
Oh, yeah. Downton spoiler is over.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, without further ado.
Where are you?
Not here today because we have guests.
Gorgeous. Literally gorgeous.
Thank you. It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Halo Collar. Speaking of do-da-do-da-do, you know how important our baby doggies, Theo and Bruno, are in our family. And that's why when it comes to keeping them safe, happy, and secure, we knew the Halo collar was the only collar we would ever use. Halo is the only smart system with a collar that trains, tracks, and protects your dog so they can safely run free. You set up Halo fences by walking the perimeter with your collar or at the touch of your finger in the Halo app. You could train them with natural, simple, profound communication via the custom feedback you set for your dog. It can even include your voice. You stay connected to your dog and see how they're doing from activity to safety status, and the GPS works without cell or Wi-Fi, and you can create up to 20 fences instantly. Check out their 90-second video on the shophalocollar.com/toast. Again, that's shophalocollar, H-A-L-O-C-O-L-L-A-R. .com/toast, and you can take advantage of the special limited time introductory offer by saving 20% off on your Halo collar. You have to go to shophalocollar.com/toast. That's shophalocollar.com/toast to save 20% off, and you have to use that link. It can only be gotten at shophalocollar.com/toast.
Thank you. Okay.
It's a pleasure.
First story, Emmys, winners, and losers. Last night was the 2021 Emmys Awards. I'm sure a majority of you, like us, did not watch.
No, but I kept up with the winners because, weirdly enough, like, I watched, like, a good amount of the shows that were nominated, like The Crown, Hacks,
right.
Queen's Gambit.
So we'll share the winners and talk about any standout fashions if you have anything that stood out to you.
To be honest, I want to say that it did feel like, in some ways, like, the Emmys were so irrelevant. Like, there were, like, no A-listers there. Like, you know?
Well, it was just the people who are in these shows.
Like, I know. It just, like, felt like no one famous was there.
The Emmys are, I mean,
sometimes I feel like the Emmys are, like, lit.
No, I mean, out of all the award shows, excluding the Tonys, no offense, the Emmys are the most irrelevant.
Yeah, I would
then,
agree.
Then, like, the Golden Globes, then Oscars, yeah, then, and Grammys else are probably tied.
Yeah.
For most relevant. In terms of the like big ones, but then they're also every year more and more irrelevant, and like you see the ratings go down, and it's just like, yeah, a big circle jerk for these people.
Totally.
You know, but
then on the other side of the coin, I was gonna say, like, I actually feel like this year was maybe a year I should have watched, because I was actually, like, invested in a lot of the shows that were nominated, like, specifically Hacks.
But, like, I'm good with just reading who won afterwards. Like,
I'm good with, like, watching it on YouTube, you know, the
I don't speeches. Need to listen to a speech, mm. Not one. None, not one.
Okay.
Zero, none. Okay, let's go through the winners. Drama series, best drama series, that's a big category. The Crown won.
As they should. Hood.
Can't go wrong with The Crown.
Can never go wrong with The Crown. And you know what? Like, we have one season of The Crown left, and they deserve all of it until then.
Mm-hmm. Lead actor in a drama series, Josh O'Connor, The Crown. He played Prince Charles.
And you know what?
He was quite convincing.
Because, like, I literally see that man, and I want to punch him in the neck, and it's not even the real Prince Charles. Like, that's how method acting he was. He's literally Prince Charles.
Yeah. Lead actress in a drama series, Olivia Colman, The Crown.
Oh, wow. Is this what we call a sweep?
Well, no. Well, yes, I guess for the drama series, it would be a sweep for these people. I feel like she's good and she's won before.
Jackie, don't even say anything negative.
I guess maybe no one else was, like, better than her this year, but I feel like it could have been, like, it could have been someone else.
No, she's so stellar. She's so queeny. Like, I love her. And she made the sweetest speech. Like, I actually did get teared up because, like, her dad passed away, like, 6 months ago. And it was just, like, such a sad, sweet speech. And we stan. So, like, no Olivia Colman slander. Like,
no, ever. There was no slander.
You were being slanderous.
And I just
want
to say, so I've been seeing Claire Foy in a lot of other shows, but the first thing I ever saw her in was The Crown, and she was so amazing.
She's the younger queen.
She's a younger queenie. And I thought, like, she was the queen to me. Like, she was so sweet and queen-like and everything.
She was great.
In every other show, she plays, like, such a wench.
Really?
And it's so crazy because now I'm like, oh, she's like the mean girl. Like, she played Anne Boleyn in Wolf Hall. She also played like this Nazi sympathizing awful woman in Upstairs Downstairs. Like, that's just so it's
versatility.
Crazy, it's crazy that she even got the queen part, and she did such a good job.
So was this Olivia Colman's last season as the queen, because now we're changing time and we need a gray-haired queen?
Yes, I think we're upgrading once again to Dominic West.
Right, this is the final.
And Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a final casting.
The queen. The crown. Monarchy. The British mandate.
Okay, limited series. Winner was Queen's Gambit. I mean, the Queen's Gambit to me is just the gold standard of television.
Completely agree. And Anya Taylor-Joy is also the gold standard of, like, what to do when you're cast to, like, A-list fame in a matter of seconds. Like, she's a Tiffany's model, and she looked gorgeous. I loved her dress, the updo, very like chignon bat mitzvah. I loved it.
Yeah, she looked wonderful. Also, all the other limited series, I haven't watched the other ones, but like Mare of Easttown, WandaVision, like have gotten such high praise. So like it was a competitive category, as it always is. I like a limited series, and I've been meaning to watch Mare of Easttown.
Yeah, me too, but like it's over. I missed the hype, so like who cares?
Oh, right, you already said that. We have had this discussion. Lead actor in a limited series or movie, Ewan McGregor, Halston.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was good. I have mixed feelings about the Halston Netflix thing. Like, I don't even remember, like, enjoying it when I watched it. But now I, like, reflect on it fondly, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Who else was nominated for, like, what shows?
Paul Bettany, WandaVision, Hugh Grant, The Undoing.
Oh.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr., Hamilton. Is that from the Hamilton that they just took
the DVR.
A camcorder?
The recording.
Okay.
By the way, I think this absolutely should have gone to Hugh Grant for The Undoing. He was literally, it was the best acting performance I've ever seen, because I had no fucking idea if he was the murderer or not.
I agree.
And I didn't think even McGregor was that great. I'm not going to lie.
I agree. Lead actress in a limited series or movie, Kate Winslet, Mare of Easttown.
Of course. I didn't see it or know anything about it, but the hype has to be real, you know?
Yeah, totally. Lead actress in a comedy series, Jean Smart, Hacks.
Okay, let's talk about this. Like, first of all, so blessed, grateful, and honored that Hacks got the credit it deserves. Like, it's such a good show. Jean Smart is like having this resurgence. She got a standing ovation from everyone in the room. Like, they would not sit down because like she's been in this business for so long, and she just recently, she lost her husband, and she like made such a sweet speech about how like he really put his career on the back burner so that she could thrive and, you know, have this flourishing career.
Construction workers for Jean Smart.
And so I just fucking love her, and I love the show, and I can't wait for season two, and I'm so happy for like this moment she's having.
Yeah.
And she looked sickening in this like sexy little black thing.
Totally.
Love.
Comedy series winner, Ted Lasso.
Like, I was just talking to my friend Abe about Ted Lasso. He was like, you would love it. And everyone keeps saying that, but like, I just can't really express. And it's really not about the money, it's just the principle. Like, I'm not subscribing to a brand new subscription service for one show. Mm. I don't watch the morning show. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm really going to pay a whole ass service for one show a month. It's just a principle. Like, I refuse.
That's a good point. So you'll wait till they have more that you want to see.
That's exactly what I said.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Lead actor in a comedy series, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso.
And in Apple TV Plus, you can't use someone else's login because it's like through your own Apple TV. Right. So they charge like your iTunes.
It's only like one per remote.
Literally.
Damn. They got you good.
They got me good.
But it must be really good because supporting actress in a comedy series, Hannah Waddingham, Ted Lasso, supporting actor, went to Brett Goldstein, Ted Lasso. So I'm sure it's all about Ted Lasso. You know, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Supporting actress in a limited or anthology series or movie, Julianne Nicholson, Mare of Easttown. Supporting actor in a limited or anthology series or movie, Evan Peters, Mare of Easttown. People were really excited for him. You know, the guy from Sleepover finally had his moment.
So yeah, all in all, it was a really exciting award show. And I actually was very pleased with the results, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself. It seems like you watched the whole thing.
I mean, to be honest, I watched all the clips on YouTube. And to be honest, I think it's disgusting that Downton Abbey didn't win anything.
Well, if only, like, we...
They should be winning
paid
still.
Paid attention.
They should be
Downton's
winning still.
Ears. I'm sure they all won.
Can you look it up?
Downton Abbey Emmys.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think is, like, the best actress in the show?
I mean, there are so
Mr.
many.
Mr. Carson, literally, I think is the best actor ever.
But the Dowager. If she wasn't winning, supporting...
Oh, the Dowager. She's so good. She said the funniest thing in a most recent episode. Can I tell you?
Yeah, she's always saying, please remind me.
Okay, so they're deciding between two footmen, like, who's better, whatever. One of them is, more hardworking, but the other's, like, really cocky and full of himself, but really handsome. So, obviously, they choose the handsome one because, you know, the maid's downstairs, like, they need something to live for, and, like, they're, like, you know, they literally, like, the family told Carson to choose the handsome one. And when they're having that conversation, he's like, you know, in the real world, like, skill is more important than beauty. And the dowager was like, oh, if only that were true. It was just such an iconic moment from an iconic fucking queen. So tell me, who
won
what?
They won 15 Emmys.
Oh, by the way, something really interesting about the Emmys last night, two things. One, RuPaul, like, won again and is now the most decorated Emmy winner. Yeah. Two, The Handmaid's Tale set a record last night, going 0-21. They were nominated 21 times. They did not win one single thing. And previously, before that, there was a show that Mad Men, one of their seasons, had been nominated for 17 awards and not won any. And that was, like, the previous record. But Handmaid's Tale beat them out by not winning one single award last night.
That's really funny.
I know.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the Emmys that they've won. Outstanding hairstyling for a single camera series. Okay.
Who individually has won?
Outstanding production design for a narrative period program. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Maggie Smith.
Thank God.
There were other nominees, but Mr. Carson did get nominated once, but he did not win.
No.
Outstanding hairstyling again.
Actually, I feel that. Hair is so ugly and, like, so on theme with the years. You know what I don't like is that, like, I think for the most part they're living in the 20s, and, like, the fashion in the 20s is not it. I'm sorry. Like, these, like, drop waist Gatsby, like long beaded necklaces. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
I know. It's like flapper.
Yes.
But in the, you know, British aristocracy.
Heinous.
You expect them to be wearing, like, hoop skirts and bonnets.
Mary's wedding dress was literally offensive. Like, an atrocity. It was like this drop waist nightgown.
Just keep watching.
Hopefully.
Something's going to happen.
Oh, really?
That just only you will be so. Like,
it better be about Edith, because I fucking hate that bitch. And everything that's happening to her.
That's called karma.
No, and it's called, like, you are leading the life that you fucking deserve, because you ratted out your family publicly, and you are literally a menace. And not only are you a menace, your sister never even told on you, so your family doesn't even really know the extent of a C-U-N blank you are.
They don't even know who you really are.
Which is ugly.
Okay, outstanding music composition for a series.
Who cares? Give me, like,
outstanding
the real ones.
Hairstyling, outstanding music composition, outstanding supporting actress again, Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh, wow.
Outstanding costumes, outstanding miniseries or movie, I guess for the movie, outstanding supporting actress in a miniseries or movie, Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh my God, she's the only one who won, and she won three times.
Outstanding directing for a miniseries or movie, outstanding writing for a miniseries or movie, outstanding cinematography for a miniseries or movie. So
fabulous.
None of the other actors ever won.
They didn't want it bad enough because Maggie Smith was constantly raising the bar for everyone.
That is so crazy. That is actually crazy. Someone else, like Michelle Dockery, is really good.
I can't, like, get a read on Michelle Dockery. Like, I kind of fucking hate her too.
No, I like her. I feel like you'll...
Matthew helps, like, her cause.
Yeah. And you know that Matthew, he played the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God. You know, it's been bothering
Dan
me.
Dan Stevens. And he's in...
Dan Stevens.
And he's in Prince.
Gary Jannetty Prince?
Yes, and I told you this a few weeks ago, but it didn't mean anything to you because you weren't a Dan Stevens.
Who was
stan
he in
yet.
The Prince? I'm obsessed with him now.
I think
honestly, at first I thought he was too ugly to be cast in this role, but now I feel like he's really growing on me.
He plays Prince Charles and Prince Philip. Not that Prince Philip has a lot
Talks.
Of lines.
Oh my God, I'm learning so much about Dan Stevens. I'm going to start a Dan Stevens fan account on Instagram. Like, that's how much we stan.
No, it's crazy how much we stan.
Obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if he was in anything else that we love. I'm sure he was.
He just has, like, such an unremarkable face that, like, I couldn't place. And he wasn't really in Beauty and the Beast, you know?
He was Beauty and the Beast.
No, he was, like, underneath the Beast. Like, we didn't see his face.
We did at the end.
Oh, right. He's wearing literally makeup all over his face.
Yeah. He was also in Eurovision. I know you saw that.
Right? The worst movie of all time. I blocked it out of my memory.
Oh, okay, fine. He was in a lot of other stuff too, but nothing as iconic.
So happy for him.
Nothing as iconic. Okay, great. I'm so excited that you're on this Downton journey. Like, if only we could sync up sometime, let me know if you want to start watching Outlander. I'll wait for you.
Honestly, like, I'm so against it, but who knows? In 6 months, I'll probably be obsessed.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Yeah, that's a good question, yeah.
We're switching gears completely.
Thank God.
Because the body of missing woman Gabby Petito, believed to be found at Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming, the FBI says. Okay, this is the story that has just swept the nation. The search for missing 22-year-old Gabby Petito had a tragic update on Sunday with the discovery of remains consistent with the description of the Long Island woman. In a press conference from the Craig Thomas Discovery and Visitor Center in Grand Teton National Park, Charles Jones, the supervisory senior resident agent in Wyoming for FBI Denver, confirmed human remains consistent with the description of Petito were discovered in the vicinity of the Spread Creek dispersed camping area in Wyoming. Jones said full forensic identification has not been completed to 100% confirm the body is that of Petito. However, her family was notified of the discovery and the cause of death has not been determined at this time, but they are examining for that.
This is such a crazy story. And like, it's become, I mean, people, you know, very sadly, like, go missing and get murdered a lot. But this one garnered such crazy national news because they're both like, and actually it's so crazy to watch how much their Instagrams have grown over the last like week, which is so bizarre. But they're like micro travel influence. Well, they're not micro anymore, but travel influencers. And so like up until recently, they had been documenting their whole journey on social media, which is now when you go back, like, so like chilling, eerie. Yeah, eerie, perfect word, to go back and look at it. And I guess there's really no way to know how long Gabby has been dead because they were gone for so long. By the time he drove the van back to Florida and like didn't tell anyone like where Gabby was, that's when people, but she, we don't know, like she could have been dead for a while. And like he was like posting on her social media, and honestly I've like fallen into TikTok with like so many people like discussing this and investigating on their own. And I just have to say, some of these true crime obsessed people like are absolute lunatics and they have no respect like for actually what's going on. And it's actually been so weird to like see people like making all these videos like screaming, like thinking that they solved something and like being excited. It's so weird.
That is really weird.
No, like true crime TikTok and like these, I'm sorry, women like who think that they're doing something, like going on the national parks that they were at, like going on their Facebook pages and like literally thinking that they're the FBI. And it's like, relax, like just chill the fuck out. Like, so it's been interesting to see how this has like literally become such national news. But like, I also think people are being like kind of disgusting about it. Like, I've just seen so many TikToks that I just can't believe the way people are acting.
I obviously,
like, it's not a real person.
Right. I haven't seen the TikToks, but the way that people, you know, fancy themselves detectives nowadays because they listen to true crime podcasts, it's like just like an only murders in the building where, yeah, the police officer is like, what podcast are you listening to?
Justice for people who actually solve homicides, because it must be so annoying, like with the advent of social media and this like obsession with true crime, people like really thinking they're doing something.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so you didn't watch Clickbait. Mm-mm. But it's kind of similar. Like, basically, someone goes missing and they're, like, dropping clues, the kidnappers, like, online. And there's, like, all these subreddits and Reddit threads of people, like, going out and searching and, like, you know. And actually, they do come up with, like, a pretty good lead in the beginning. But, like, that's never how it works. And honestly, like, TV shows need to stop doing that.
I know. I mean, that is actually only Murders in the Building, though.
But I feel like it's almost like a satire of it.
Yes, I agree. And, like, even their rationale for, you know, what they're investigating and when is just so silly.
Yeah. It's also such a good show.
It's such a good show. I'm enjoying it immensely.
You know what, also something I've been like literally meaning to tell you about the show Clickbait, that like as I was watching it, I'm like, I can't wait to discuss this on the toast. And then we like recapped it quickly and I never mentioned it. I really feel like Clickbait was put together to really highlight how unethical journalists are. Like, that's what was my biggest takeaway from the show. Basically, every episode focuses on like a different person involved in this case somehow, whether they're like a suspect or just like a journalist. And this journalist, it was really like the perfect metaphor for how modern day journalists are. Like, they don't give a shit about the people that they're writing about. They don't care about actually making change. They just want to advance their own careers. Yeah, no, and they, and personally, like, they don't care about like the, you know, the success of their newspaper. Like, they want the story for them so they can, and like, they'll step on anyone. This fucking nutso journalist, like, broke into the victim's house, broke into this other random victim's brother's house, literally, like, was breaking every single law, being so fucking unethical, and he was, like, so self-righteous. He's like, I need to do this for me. Like, I swear, if I could reach through the television and choke this man, because he was just the personification of literally like the evil media, like pretending that they're helping while simultaneously ruining the lives of so many people and doing it in the most unethical way possible, just for them, for themselves, like not for any other purpose, not for any greater good.
They get to hide behind the
cause.
The cause, yeah.
But then at the end of the day, it's just so they can, you know, be the on-camera person and they can get the promotion and they can like interview. That was my takeaway. I don't know if that's what everyone's takeaway was, but I like watching this episode, I swear my blood was boiling.
I mean, it's always like that, especially in crime things.
I'll never forget that thing. I never saw the show that you were talking about.
The assassination of Gianni Versace, Lee Miglin, because they like the news broke the news that he was in this certain kind of car.
Model.
And he was he had to get a new car. And he murdered someone. To take their car.
So literally Lee was responsible for...
Well, no, Lee... I'm sorry. Here. Andrew Cunanan, who is the murderer of Gianni Versace, murdered Lee Miglin, took Lee Miglin's car. Oh. The news reported that he's in Lee Miglin's car. It looks like this. Look out. So Andrew Cunanan parks the
dumped
car.
Dumped the car.
Murders someone else and takes his truck.
No, the media's fucking evil. Like, fucking evil.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry for that. It's just been bothering me because I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, this story has really captured a lot of people's attention, especially like in the toaster groups. I mean, everyone's talking about it. So hopefully, and now Brian, the fiance,
is missing.
Hiding is what Gabby's family is saying, which tracks. So hopefully they're able to find him too, because he would have answers. But also when they do forensic autopsy on her body, they will be able to tell when she died. So that should provide some answers too.
Yeah, there's just like so much weirdness about, and there's also so much like footage because they're influencers, but then also like a couple weeks ago, like early August, they were pulled over and he had like all these bruises on him. And like, I guess like the police were doing like some sort of wellness check, and there's like all this body camera footage of like him talking about, you know, Gabby and like talking to the police and like being like so chill and weird. It's so bizarre. And this is just like one of those things where just like everyday people become murderers, and it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then it's also just like a very scary reminder. Like, you really never know who you're sleeping next to.
Yeah. Oof. Are you ready for our next story? Switching gears once again.
Switching gears to a story that's brought to you by BetterHelp?
Yes.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, where you can start communicating in 48 hours. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available to you in many areas. Here's how it works. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You get a timely and thoughtful response, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. So we have a special offer for the Morning Toast listeners. If you want to get 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/toast. That's betterhelp.com/toast.
Thank you. Bravo has axed this season's Real Housewives of New York reunion.
This is historic.
Bravo confirmed that there will not be a reunion for this season due to scheduling changes around the taping of the reunion for the Real Housewives of New York City in a timely manner.
So I was under the impression that they had filmed something like a couple weeks ago, and now they were just like canning it. But I actually now think that they didn't even film anything.
Yeah.
They wouldn't waste all that budget.
Well, first of all, you said it was remote, so that's less budget.
Did I say that?
Yeah, when they were supposed to be filming, it was going to be remote, which was weird. Like, Annie didn't want to come back.
I must have heard that somewhere, because I don't claim that at all. Like, okay. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's what you said,
yeah.
which tracked also. Yeah, if it hasn't been filmed by now, and it's already been 2 weeks, and then it takes a couple weeks to package it, like, no thank you. I mean, I'm...
Grateful.
So grateful.
I'm grateful.
I'm definitely worried for this franchise, but there is nothing to talk about, really. We could go over some of the fights that were had, but you know what? When most of the time, most of the people were drunk and wouldn't stand by what they said, and we just apologize and all, like, they're just all so messy. Like,
I mean, I guess this officially makes it the worst season of Housewives ever, because even the most recent season of OC, which was really bad, even they had a two-part reunion, and honestly, it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
And, like, they're rebuilding the franchise. Like, Heather's coming back. There's all this stuff going on. But even they had a reunion. So I think that this officially marks it the worst season of Housewives ever. We've never not had a reunion, even for the dullest of seasons.
I agree. And it really was that. Just
nothingness.
Really awful. The fact that the season finale was a party in Ramona's house.
With everyone having their tits out.
Pin the tail on the Dubin.
Pathetic.
That's the lowest point. And I don't, rock bottom.
I feel like we talk about this all the time, but like I don't even know the proper solution here. Like, I almost think like everyone goes. Every single person. And like we just, I can't claim any of that negative energy. Like, even when Leah came, like Leah was so cool, and like the show was just so losery. It made Leah like into a loser.
Yeah,
the show is like the reputation. It's like just terrible. Like even if a cool person comes on, I don't think Bethany would fix it. I don't think Dorinda would fix it. I don't think Tinsley would fix it. Like I think it's just time for fresh.
It is, and maybe we would get, you know,
actually wealthy people,
or just like younger women who are hungrier for
fame,
so they'll do the stuff that women used to do on season one, and we could go back to that. But also I think the shows have just become like a little too formulaic.
Yeah,
and sometimes like you can't, it's just like a beast that it created,
you know.
I think
you're right, it's so formulaic, and like at some point like some franchises just expire.
Yeah,
and I feel like OC expired, and I feel like New York expired, and I feel like Potomac's at like their best because they're like 5 years younger, maybe more, like 7 years younger than other franchises. And so they're still like fresh and ripe. And Atlanta's getting like kind of dull, but Salt Lake City's so good. Like, I think like eventually maybe you retire a franchise for a couple years and then bring it back and do like something else in the meantime. Because 11, 12, 13 seasons, the only one that's able to survive that is Beverly Hills. And that's for obvious reasons. Like, they're actually wealthy and there's always fucking scandals going on.
Yeah.
But you can't expect, like, there to be magic with a group of women who, I'm sorry, are not wealthy. And they just get drunk and they don't...
And whose sole income really is the show and the things that branch off from it. So, like, they're acting at this point. Like, there's no heart. There's... It's just...
And they're not even friends, like...
But they also, like, are not even enemies.
Yeah, like, they don't even care anymore.
They don't care. They just want to put on a show. I agree with you that maybe it's total clean slate, though there was the rumor that they were going to get rid of everyone but keep Ramona and Ebony.
I would be down for that, too.
I would be very happy with.
And I'm sorry, like, the way that everyone hates Ramona, like, talk about the only interesting thing walking through the doors this season was Ramona. And, like, she's nuts and she's hilarious and she's funny and, like... And the way that everyone is just so mean to her because they think, like, the audience hates her and they just don't want to be, like, on Team Ramona. I'm sorry. Ramona's everything of the sort. And I will not accept Ramona slander anymore.
No, I will not. I've stopped putting up with Ramona slander a while ago. And it's really a great place to be. I recommend that you all try it. But Ramona, like, is the heart and soul of the show because she's not just, like, off the walls crazy like Sonia.
She's not. She's actually very lucid.
Yeah. So
sometimes
no, but then she has her crazy moments, mm-hmm. and then it's like, but we need more women like Ramona.
Perfect.
Who have the heart and soul and like really
balance.
Want to like are invested in female friendships, but also sometimes
they lose it.
Go bananas.
Yeah, totally. Like you have to do both. You can't always be going bananas,
and
Dorinda.
You also can't always be perfect and boring.
Boring.
And you want a good edit.
Yeah, that's like a little like Ebony. Like she's like a little boring and perfect.
Yeah.
She yeah. never got, like, down and dirty with it.
Yeah.
There was nothing to get down in.
I wouldn't say that any of the New York... Like, cause they're just a mess. But I do feel like there are housewives that come on that are just, like... They are too scared of any sort of backlash. They're just... Yeah. They won't do anything.
You can't be.
They won't step out of line, you know?
Yeah.
So you need people who are a little bit crazy.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not surprising that there's no reunion. I just, like... That's never happened before. So I know. It's historic.
It's historic, and I'm feeling very personally grateful.
What happened to class?
Elegance. Okay, next story. The seven husbands of Christina Hack. She posts...
Oh, my God. I thought this was an update about, like, a seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo, like, being made into a movie or something.
Not exactly.
Shit.
Christina
yeah,
Hack...
Yeah, she's definitely engaged, right?
...posts and deletes another ring with Joshua... Another ring pick with Joshua Hall. So she...
She's so thirsty. I can't.
...posted a picture of her on her Instagram of the two of them, a selfie, and she put a heart over her ring finger...
It was so not subtle. Like, it was so intentional.
She could have easily, like, had not the heart and we saw the ring and then she's like, promise ring or whatever.
Or she could have just moved her hand.
Or could have moved, put her popsicle down.
Yeah.
Or could just come out with her engagement.
No, like, I don't even care if she's engaged because, like, this is, at first, like, this little, like, love rhombus between the Hacks, the Musas.
And Steds.
And Steds. was interesting, and now it's kind of bordering on sad. And honestly, I don't think it's fair for Aunt Anstead to be bringing Renee Zellweger into this. This is like, this is becoming like twisted. Like,
I know, and I know that you think so, but just, I actually never watched Flip or Flop.
It's the most toxic fucking show.
I really never invested much in like Tark and Christina, and I never really cared about the Rhombus until recently. But just the fact that like every year Christina has like a new husband.
It's actually fucking crazy.
It's impressive.
No, I know. Like, she must be like, you know, like have the best game. Like, she knows how to text. Like, she's getting all these men to just like drop down on one knee, propose, like have children with her, buy homes with her. And then she's like, bye. I don't know what is going on with Christina Hack, but I think we could all learn a few things from her.
I agree. And she's, this would be her third marriage.
In like 3 years.
Right. And so like, she could be Evelyn Hugo.
No, the seven husbands of Christina Hack was the perfect way of putting this. Like, but it's not seven. It's going to be like 35.
If she keeps
going. At this rate. Yeah.
And like, honestly, no shade.
Not at all. Impressive. Respect.
Impressive.
It's fucking crazy. Like, she definitely is engaged. Like, it was such an obvious, stupid move. Like we're in middle school. Like, like, you're engaged. Who cares? They probably have, like, some People exclusive. People magazine is just, like, eating this, like, rhombus up.
Oh, okay. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading it in Page Six.
This is, like, their go-to, like, stupid-ass drama.
Yeah. And then sometimes they throw Heather and Tarek's cupcakes in.
Oh, my God. There's always something stupid going on with them.
You also, know, like, Heather's going vegan. You saw they did their joint bachelorette party.
No, there's so much. We should actually change it to Heather and Tarek's mindless news. There's so much mindlessness. They're going vegan.
The only thing I'll say is that to me, I have no questions why there's mindless news about them. Like,
they're putting it out there.
That's how they propel their career. They're really not like A-listers or anything. No. And like, you know, we post an Instagram, Us Weekly writes it up. That's the ecosystem that we live in. It doesn't make sense for Kelly Ripa.
She's too famous for that.
She's so famous. She's so legitimate. Like,
I think we got down to the bottom of it actually last week when
she's trying to deflect the narrative.
She's trying to undo the did that she did, you know?
Yeah.
When it came to the Michael Strahan drama of it all. Like, nobody wants to be remembered for having a tantrum because your coworker who deserved his promotion got one. Like, you're a jealous wench. So now I don't think jealous wench when I think Kelly Ripa. I think gorgeous, you know, like Stein Goya dress.
And I just think, like, mindless, always commenting on her kids' Instagram. Like, you know, just something mindless.
No, I'm always thinking, like, oh, her and Mark being thirsty again. Like, that's, and you know what? That's not a great association, but it's better than the Michael Strahan drama.
Yeah, she's working her way up.
It's actually pretty fucking smart.
It is.
And I feel like now she's, like, in, like, a hamster wheel where, like, if she stops the mindless news, it was probably, like, a temporary fix, like, not a permanent solution. But now it's, like, she's been doing it for so long that she's afraid if she gets off the hamster wheel, like, they'll go back to talking about Michael Strahan. So she's actually just going to be doing this till like the day she dies.
That's awful.
Yeah, her publicists though are making bank.
Yeah, that's true. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Already?
Already.
It's the final story. What's the final story?
It's some historic space news because the SpaceX's Inspiration4 all civilian orbital mission has landed safely off the coast of Florida. Everyone's smiling, happy. $200 million raised for St. Jude's.
Oh!
It's historic.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. St. Jude's is a fabulous organization.
They are.
Their commercials always make me cry, but I've heard so many wonderful things about St. Jude's. Like, justice for St. Jude's.
And SpaceX's Inspiration4 is providing justice and funding for St. Jude's.
That's so great. Like, that $200 million is going to make such a difference.
Yeah. And four private citizens went to space safely, came home, like, lived to tell the tale, and this could, you know, pioneer private space travel, as we discussed last week. But I'm happy that everyone's home safely. Maybe it does influence, you know, my decision a little bit.
Do you think in, like, 100 years, like, this is going to be in a textbook? I always think about that, like, when historic shit happens.
It depends what textbook. You know, if it's the general history of the world.
Like, U.S. history. I feel like it may be in, like, a really dense one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if it's very general, no.
I always think about that. It's not
Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Right, like, what do you think is something that has happened this year that, like, will be...
Oh, my God, where do I begin?
Oh, obviously, like, besides COVID, like, Megxit would be in a textbook, you think? Not in our textbook.
Not in our textbook, no. In a British royal history one, they probably got a footnote.
Oh, by the way, that's the other thing about Downton Abbey. I'm so sorry. I need to bring it up, and I'm sorry. This is not going to spoil anything, but in the time period that I'm currently watching, it's the Spanish flu. And by the way, the show was made long before COVID, and honestly, watching it in a COVID world was so eerie. Like, they were talking about the flu and, like, the symptoms and the contagiousness, and I swear to God, they could have been talking about COVID. It was so creepy, like how, you know, this one guy, you know, we have to be aware of him. He has got, you know, not strong lungs. Like, it was just so weird. And then, like, they bounced back, like, a couple years later, and it just, like, gave me hope. Like, I feel like a lot of times, and the media is responsible for, like, making us feel this way, like, we're never going to get out of this, and, like, yeah, the world is over as we know it. And honestly, like, just seeing the Crown, no, not the Crown, Downton Abbey, like, you know, get through it really gave me hope.
Yeah, no, when you watch like a lot of period pieces, there's so much plague, there's so many pandemics.
No, but like if you watch the news, like them fear-mongering us into like never leaving our homes again, right. I'm like, oh my God, like that is the world, like we're never gonna get over this.
But the outlook, like when you watch something like Downton, like the outlook is just so different than the one that we have now.
Yeah, but also like they did breeze through it in one episode, and like of course, you know, getting through a pandemic does take longer than one episode, but I don't know, it was just like it was so crazy how they were referring to this disease, and it was literally COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess COVID is a flu, so it's like they're similar, right?
Yeah. So that's that on that. Fast High Stories, you definitely needed to know them. Congrats to all of the new astronauts who've landed.
So happy for you guys.
How exciting.
Let's dive into the TV recap segment.
So much to discuss.
Which is, let's get our Potomac one out of the way, because honestly, nothing happened. And it was filled with so much mindless personal news of people I don't care about. Robin and her warehouse, Giselle and her kids, guys, getting their permits.
Through it.
I did, like, you know, I skipped through the commercial break, and then I saw it's like a personal scene from Robin. Giselle. So I just like go one more, and then I watched like most of it, but I give it like a little. You know how like, sometimes when I'm watching something really good, I want to get to the right to the beginning where the commercial ends and the show starts.
That's where I was when Chris showed up at the music video set. I pressed play, yes, and I saw that I missed a line. Went back to commercials, watched more commercials so that I can make sure I heard the whole thing.
So there's really only two things worth talking about. The Chris thing, but then also I kind of feel like this whole candle thing is actually kind of like might blow up. Because like I 100% believe that Karen was working on these candles long before Wendy even had the idea. And Wendy's a mess. Like she has what, 15 candles? Karen, they said they're ready for retail. Like they have labels, they have everything. And I just feel like Wendy is going to be kerfuffled and like say something to Karen, which is moronic. Because first of all, Grand Dame is a fragrance company. Like, from a fragrance, obviously candles is, like, a logical next step.
Of course, she's in the business of scents. It's such a beautiful next
And I actually
step.
Felt like Karen wasn't being that rude about it. Like, she could have been more shady, but she was like, you know, hers is one wick, perfect for a powder room, and mine is three wicks for a bigger room. Like, I felt like she could have been, like, ruder, but I do think Wendy's going to, like, make something about that. And, like, even just, like, I'm sorry, Wendy went from being someone who, like, I really admired to like, I'm sorry, her business is a joke. Like, no, the way that she like jokes around with Eddie and her stupid presentations,
when
like it's stupid.
She was doing that presentation, I was like, how many degrees does she have?
No, totally.
No, I'm asking you.
Like four.
She has 4 degrees, and all of a sudden she's Cameron Westcott trying to sell Sparkle Dog to court.
No, it's literally, and like she's just like kowtowing to her husband, like putting together these presentations that have absolutely no fucking data in them. Like she doesn't know how much her candle costs. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, she went from being someone like who was really accomplished, and she still is, but I'm like, but what the fuck are you doing?
No, and also, why is she playing it this way? Like, when they asked
she's
her,
she's making herself look stupid.
In the interview, when they're like, what, how much have you spent so far? And she was like, I need to add up the
my
columns.
My Excel spreadsheet.
I need to add up the columns on my Excel spreadsheet, which is like, I understand what you mean, but like, can you give us a rough, like, the answer to that is not like, I need to add up my columns.
Right.
It's just like, how much have you spent?
No,
like,
it's so embarrassing.
$1,000?
Right, I'm like, 15,000? Like, it was just...
Based on, like, what she said, it sounded like receipts for, like, things that she bought at the store to make a candle.
Right, did she make the candles herself?
I feel like she spent, like, $100.
Yeah, me too, like, on supplies.
And anyways, just, like, give a number. Don't, like, I don't know why she's...
Doing this.
Doing it in this way. It's so counter to how she presented herself in the past.
Right, which is what Giselle was saying.
Right. No, but Giselle hasn't even seen this yet.
No, totally. And Giselle's talking about physical, but I'm really talking about, like, you went from being someone who almost was, like, so condescending with her career to, like, starting from scratch.
No, Wendy's was the only personal scene that I watched, and she should have wished that I didn't.
Because, 100%.
Because I've really been enjoying her this season, and now I'm so confused. I also did watch a bit of Giselle teaching her daughter how to drive, just because I do feel like personally invested
in someone's journey to driving.
And I always, you know, I want to see other
drivers.
other aspiring drivers succeed. And maybe I could learn a thing or two. But Giselle's Gucci Fiat
is something worth discussing.
You said it's Jamal's car?
Didn't she say, like, when she pulled up in that Fiat, like, last season, and Candace was like, what is that car? She's like, oh, it's Jamal's when he's in town. Something like that.
But
I can't imagine Jamal driving that car.
No, she's always driving it, and it never really dawned on me until I saw the Gucci
seatbelts
that this is the car that she drives. Mm-hmm. And I actually did a little bit of research because I just assumed, like, she took it to, you know, the body shop and said, like,
make it Gucci.
Make it Gucci. But no, there is a Gucci Fiat model. They did a collaboration, yeah. And that is a real car.
It's atrocious. It's literally, first of all, I just think Fiats are the ugliest cars. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't understand the tiny car extravaganza.
Have you watched The Italian Job?
No.
You'll have more appreciation.
Okay, but then, like, the seatbelts and that, like, that stripe around the car, it's, that happens to be my least favorite Gucci print, like that green and red stripe. I just think it's heinous. And
oh,
it's,
I don't mind
it's even uglier in a car.
No, it's crazy. Like, all, so many people, even you go to, like, Salt Lake City, and, like, Jen Cha's, like, labels, like, nobody has the label on their car.
No, it's ostentatious on another level.
Last time was the first time that it dawned on me what we were seeing. And I was really just like,
I've noticed it before. And I did think to myself, she definitely had those seatbelts put in. Because I was like,
I never noticed the seatbelts. I only noticed the stripe around the car. But, like, I never thought about it.
It wasn't until you texted me about it last night. And then you found the link for the car.
I said, we need to talk about.
Should we get one?
We need to talk about Giselle's Gucci Fiat. And you said,
it's a conversation worth having. It's the craziest fucking car. It's insanity. And then, like, the big moment was this event. Now, I have a few things to say. Mia, like, asking questions to Candace's mom. Like, I kind of would have done the same. And Candace's mom is, like, honestly, like, I don't even like Candace. But, like, for her own mom, like, on TV, she does not stop. Like, she was starting conversations with everyone.
Yeah.
But who was it who went over to Candace? Was it Robin who was, like, Mia?
Wendy.
So fucking losery of Wendy. I'm
no,
sorry.
So wrong. So here's the thing. I don't think Mia should have been. I mean, it's not really polite to be asking those questions, especially when we're on set for this thing. But you know what? I'm glad she did. We're watching a show. Someone's got to do it.
And I am curious if he's on salary.
And I also, and I'm sure I hadn't thought about it before, but it's clear that all the women were thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So she's asking what everyone's thinking. And that's fine. Respect. And I also understand why Wendy is like, this is so inappropriate. Like, why Candace's thing? Why are we talking about this? But for Wendy to go and tell Candace and to ruin her.
When Candace is already, like, stressed the fuck out.
Stressed the fuck out. The fact that Candace didn't shed a tear the whole evening.
Admirable.
At newfound respect. The fact that she could even, like, hug and jump on her husband after the end of the shoot. Like, newfound
just seeing
respect.
Him walking out in those striped pants. I was like, I hate him.
No, but, like, she does not pay her husband, right? That's what
they never really said, but I'm guessing no, he just, like, if she wins, he wins, you know?
Well, you get what you pay for.
Right.
And they should.
The fact that they had to use, like, Karen's car and, like, everyone's cars was, like, embarrassing.
And also, like, I'm so confused by their situation, so apparent. Right, but also at the same time when they were waiting for the cars.
It was like a graffitied out car.
They were waiting for the cars and I was like, all these women just pulled up in stunning cars. Like, when are you going to realize you
just
use
those them, yeah.
cars? So I'm glad
Karen drives a Maserati.
Yeah, I'm glad that they put that together. But I don't understand their situation. So he doesn't work at the restaurant anymore.
No.
So that's why he's working for Candace. And now we're going to put all of our eggs in Candace's
But he's also
basket.
Doing, like, at-home virtual cooking classes.
Oh, I thought he was taking a cooking class. And I'm like,
no, I think he's giving them, no?
Okay, yeah, that makes
100%.
Sense. 100%. And I think he, like, is doing private cooking for other people.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. But still, you've got to get your ducks in order. It was just.
And I have to be honest, like, I do hate Giselle, but she did have, like, one really redeeming moment where, like, Wendy's all, you know, verklempt that Mia's talking to Candace's mom. So, you know, Wendy runs over to Robin and Giselle and was like, can you believe that Mia just asked Candace's mom if, you know, Chris is being paid? And Giselle's like, well, is he? Like, we're curious.
No,
like, what is the setup?
I thought the same thing.
I mean, Robin was just, like, so in the background the whole episode. Like, I don't claim Robin. Like, I hate her. Yeah. I really fucking hate her. And Karen remains, like, supreme. She's a queen. I absolutely fucking love everything she does. I would watch literally, like, a home scene of her clipping her toenails. Like, I just love her.
Yeah.
And that's that on that.
That's that on that. The music video, like, I guess it turned out cute in the end.
The auto body shop segment looked cool.
Yeah, it did. But like just the whole scene waiting for the sunset was like tragic.
And then like she had this like love interest. It was turned.
Like, and but they were only like hugging and Chris was watching. And like it just felt, it smelled to me like justice for Monique.
That is what it smelled like. I can confirm.
And Ashley. Like,
yes, oh, Ashley didn't have to sit through that torturous day. There wasn't even a chair. They were standing in the parking lot for hours. They were
sitting in their cars.
Yeah, torture.
Torch.
Justice for Ashley, 100%.
So that was, and we got some entertainment value, and Candace got her music video. So, like, I don't even feel bad, like, laughing.
It's just, like, my opinions on everyone is changing so much. Like, now this week I hate Wendy, and I, like, kind of like Candace.
Yeah, no, Candace has grown on me.
Whereas last week I really did, like, Wendy. I was like proud of her for standing up to like Wendy and Giselle.
Yeah, but that's also what makes a good franchise. It's like your feelings about people should constantly be in flux when you're so certain this one's the villain and that one's like the best person, then you're waiting for that person to go. Yeah. But it's like, it's good when you're like, okay, I agree with this. It's always good to have like a favorite, like you can do no wrong, but like I agree with this person about these things. I disagree about other things. It just makes the show more interesting.
That's true. And I have to say, I'm incredibly excited for next week where it appears like Giselle's home is the subject of some ridicule. As it should be, like having guests over and there's like a tractor digging up dirt in your front yard.
Yeah. No, fabulous. Next week does look pretty good. We always say that.
And Karen got vaccinated. So that's all that matters.
Right. Also, one other thing that I was going to say. I forget.
It was a pretty good episode. It was filled with a lot of like boring personal scenes. Oh, I was going to say
Mia is two different people. She's the Mia that we see on the show and then she's the Mia in her confessionals.
Yeah, she's like shady and funny in her confessionals.
It's like, where's that girl? Yeah, and she's like so confident and like and strong. And then in the show, she's spineless, all over the place.
Spineless.
Like, who are her friends even?
Spineless. Giving Bronwyn season one energy.
Yeah, I'm just like so confused by her. I love confessional Mia.
I completely agree, actually.
I don't know Mia on the show.
She's just like thirsty for everyone to like her, which is just like a nice personality trait in real life, but not on a real reality show.
Yeah, you have to, you know.
If you stand for nothing,
you fall for everything.
Exactly. And then the Salt Lake City recap, which is so exciting, is brought to you by Pros. After your pregnancy, your body's shifting, recalibrating, and doing things that don't feel normal. And one of the alarming side effects of all the hormonal changes can be excessive shedding, hair that comes out in clumps even when you wash or brush it. And thankfully, Pros is here to help stop the shedding cycle and grow back your hair. Pros specializes in custom hair care, and now they also make custom hair supplements that are personally tailored to address your specific cause of shedding. They take into account things like hormonal changes, stress level, diet, and more. The result is customized supplements guaranteed to help your hair grow thicker, longer, softer, and in more record time. They're made with clean, safe, and natural ingredients, and the Pros hair supplements are just two capsules you take daily. Better yet, Pros supplements are free from drugs, synthetic fillers, and DHT hormones. All formulas are gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, and cruelty-free. Try your own custom hair supplements and you'll get 15% off when you go to pros.com/toast. That's PROSE.com/toast for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off custom hair supplements. Check it out. Okay. Salt Lake City was so good. Like I could watch. It's the actual like total opposite of Potomac. I could watch the personal scenes forever. Like I really feel like these women are just so interesting. And I was actually getting so angry at last night's episode. I'm sorry. Lisa Barlow is such a bad fucking friend. Mm-hmm. I cannot get over it. And I was also getting frustrated because as much as I love Heather, like, she's so desperate. It's like, it's unbecoming of her. Like,
yeah.
She's this confident queen. I feel like why everyone loves her is like, she's so sure of herself. She takes no bullshit. But when it comes to Jen Shaw, she's a loser. Like,
yeah,
it's so upsetting.
I think she's about to have a big fall from grace.
Me too. Because now, even in real life now, we know that like Lisa Barlow even comes to terms with the fact that she can't be friends with Jen Shaw. And she's like completely not talking to Jen Shaw. Whereas Heather and her are better friends than ever. Like she needs to be there for Jen while she's going through all this shit.
Yeah. And Heather said on Watch What Happens Live, which I didn't understand at the time, but then I watched it further, where she always knew like Jen's business was unsavory, but she didn't know it was illegal. So I do think this whole time she knew that Jen was getting people to buy into like some sort of fake scam, mm-hmm. and also selling their information once they bought in. And I think Heather knew that that was what her business was. Did not know that that was illegal. A crime. So that's why she feels the need to stand with her, because she's like, there's no new information to
I'm sorry,
me.
There's literally no excuse to stand with Jen Shaw.
No, there's none whatsoever. And just in the first two episodes, I'm already feeling like Heather is sort of slipping. It's giving me Leah vibes, where it's like, last season, you're just on
hero
the money,
to zero.
And now it's like, with each episode, I'm just like, I agree with you less and less. Like,
and she really, like, in that conversation that the two of them had at that glacier.
She was like, all she's asking is that Jen doesn't lie to her about like getting hacked or say, or that the screenshots right. are photoshopped.
She could still say horrible things about me on social media, but as long as she owns up to it.
Right. Like, you said all these horrible things. You don't need to explain yourself or apologize for them. I just need you to not say them anymore and not act as if they're photoshopped.
It was the like, most the pathetic bar conversation.
Is so fucking low.
And Whitney would have been vomiting because Whitney was actually giving Heather good advice. Whitney knew exactly what was going to go on. Whitney knew Heather was going to walk in there and just be like under Jen's spell and be like obsessed and desperate to be her friend. And Whitney was like, at least try and give her a hard time. And she didn't. And Whitney's going to watch that scene.
That
and, like,
was Heather trying to give her a hard time. The fact that she, like, you know, waited two beats before she accepted Jen back into her life. And the fact that Jen, like, makes everything that she's, like, treated differently in the group when it's like, you are given such a pass.
That's exactly actually what Heather said.
Yes, that is what Heather said. But it's like,
for your temper.
You,
everyone walks on eggshells around you because you have such a crazy temper.
Right. You go so crazy with people and like you really don't apologize and you just like continue to do it again. And then you're upset when you feel alienated from the group. But it's like, why would this group
want to hang out with you?
More of that.
No, totally. It's delusion and it's such narcissism, like not being able to see anything other than like the way you feel when it's like you don't even acknowledge the fact that like what she's doing to Meredith and Brooks. And you know how like I'm not even a fan of Brooks, but like to, what she's doing is so evil to someone's kid. And she keeps comparing, like, he said something about my vagina. He's a child, first of all. So like you don't get to go head tit for toe with him, like tit for tat with him at all. And second, okay, you made your point. You were annoyed that he said something about your vagina and you made your point, but like you don't stop. And now we're bordering on homophobic slurs.
Right. And also it looks like next week she says that she doesn't run her Twitter account. So she has one of her interns or whatever who's liking tweets and retweeting stuff and whatnot. But like the directive comes from Jen. Whoever Jen's beefing with, they don't just go off book.
It starts at the top.
It's so stupid. Like what a lame excuse.
No, it's such a cowardice. Like no one believes that.
But I will say one nice thing. Jen looks so sickening in that igloo.
Not even in the igloo. I also thought when she was at home calling Heather, she just looked gorgeous.
What was she wearing?
I don't know, but it was like her glam and her face were like just snatched. I don't know if she had any work done, but like her hair looked amazing. I actually thought, and yes, her fur outfit at the glacier was so cute.
That's when I texted
She's
you.
She's best dressed.
I'm going to her estate sale if she gets convicted. And I'm getting that hat and coat.
And the coat. Yeah, no, by the way, that's actually a great fucking call.
We're gonna go to Utah.
Okay, the other thing was actually, weirdly enough, I know Mary's like so not in the storyline, but that scene where she was remodeling her home was so funny. Like when she's talking about how her cousin, who's the worst contractor in the world, like if you want something done, don't go to him. Like so funny. And then commenting on her green carpet and her ugly sconces. Like we love a queen who can poke fun at herself. It was so refreshing. And Mary also looks different. Mary like looks, her face looks like maybe she got some filler. She looked great.
Yeah.
I mean it in a positive way.
But the shows are becoming not so much Salt Lake City, but Potomac for sure, where it's like 45% of the episode is personal scenes, and then we get the women together for the last 15%. And it's like, what happened to lunches? What happened to elegance?
No,
class?
And you know what? They keep doing like flashbacks to lunches that we didn't see. Show us the lunches.
I want more breakout lunches.
And that's why the group trips are so great, because like there's
it's
no personal 24 scenes.
24 hours of group scenes.
I agree.
But like, no, even last week when we had four women at a lunch, like perfect. Doesn't always need to be the whole group. Sometimes two, sometimes three. Mix it up. Interesting things get shared in those lunches.
I completely agree.
I won't fast forward through a lunch scene.
Never.
You know, so that's my request. This too much, and maybe it's like a COVID symptom, but like it's like everybody has their own personal crap that they're promoting.
And we really don't care.
We really don't care.
They're
explaining to their husbands what happened, what we already saw.
Right. We have to hear it regurgitated.
I'm good.
No.
And then the group gets together.
In the words of my favorite TikTok sound, we really don't give a shit. It's not a major holiday, okay? Like, it's enough.
It's not a major holiday.
I know you don't know, but it's the best TikTok sound. It's this girl's like, it's St. Patrick's Day. We really don't give a shit. It's not a major holiday. It's literally the best TikTok sound, but you wouldn't know because you refuse to conform.
No, I wouldn't know because you only send me bad TikToks.
I just feel like it's not my responsibility to like cater to you.
Then don't send me any. But you only send me bad ones. You don't send me cool, trendy, like anything. If you don't say like, this is what everyone's doing, how funny is that?
Whatever. All in all, Salt Lake City was pretty good, and Meredith is a queen. She was on Watch Happens Live with Candace and Andy.
I couldn't watch.
And like the thing that went viral from the episode is Andy asked her, like, did you call the feds? And I think she said this as a joke, but she was like, and everyone's been asking her that. Like, I saw she did press for the show Entertainment Tonight. She said, of course not. But Andy said, did you contact the feds? And Meredith said, well, I warned you guys not to mess with my family. But I do think she was kidding.
Ooh, I don't think that she did.
Me neither.
Also, like, you're saying she has said that she didn't.
Multiple times. Like, and I do believe she was joking.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, like, I fucking love Queen Meredith. And I've heard people say, like, you know, Meredith is getting big head because, like, now everyone's obsessed with her. And I'm sorry, like, she's entitled to the big head and we love her. And you're completely right. Heather Gay is having a Leah McSweeney moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to hate Heather. And for a while, I thought there was no one in the world I would want to hang out with more.
I don't think there was ever a housewife who had a better first season than Leah McSweeney. And a worse second season.
Well, Heather Gay's about to give Leah a run for her money.
That's what I'm thinking.
So that is our show. That was a TV recap. And I do believe that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. I didn't watch anything else. I finished LuLaRoe.
Oh, yeah. What did you think?
My thoughts. You guys couldn't handle my thoughts.
No, you couldn't. I think you should say them.
I'll think about it. I just want you to know that it's probably my hottest take ever.
No, and you know what? Like, with MLMs, like, people do not fuck around. Like, if you, like, even want to say one thing in defense of, like, the company, like, you don't support other women. So I just want to say before Jackie says, if she says, these are Jackie's thoughts, not mine.
I just want to say, like, I FaceTimed you and told you my thoughts and you...
No, were... I don't disagree with your thoughts because I do feel like the problem with MLMs is, like, there's no personal accountability.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the company made me do this. But you also showed up and did all that.
Right. And also, like, you were saying so many of these companies are, like, a really big issue is how much inventory you have to buy at the outset. You can't get into it without spending $5,000 or $10,000. And it's, like, well, then don't get into it. Like, it's not like you sign something and then you find out you have to spend all this money. It's, like, in order to get into it, you have to spend all this money. So, like, that's the time to say no.
No, I completely agree with you. And, like, that's...
No, and there is no personal accountability, especially with, like, I feel like in some of the testimonials we watched on the documentary, like, some of the women, like, really, you know, they kind of destroyed their own lives with getting carried away with stuff. And, like, my question is, like, if you took out a credit card to buy that $5,000 inventory, like, that one woman who got divorced Lost everything.
She was so sad.
She was so sad. And it really felt like she... It was so hard on herself because of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not talking about her, but like if you took, but she took out a credit card and then she started making bank from LuLaRoe.
Bought herself two cars.
Was the first thing she did not pay off those debts?
I sure hope so. I don't know.
It sounded like no.
Yeah, she didn't say, so I have to assume.
And then like she lost her cars and she lost her house because like she had all these debts, mm-hmm. but she was making so much money.
Right. No, I don't know.
Like, and you shouldn't take out a credit card ever. You shouldn't, you know, spend money that you don't have. Especially to buy inventory to join an MLM, like, no. But if you do and you start making tens of thousands of dollars a month, you should pay that off.
You know, I think your sentiment that I really agreed with at the end of the day is, like, of course MLMs are bad and their pyramid schemes are illegal for a reason. But at the end of the day, like, it wasn't this thing where people, you know, were forced into selling LuLaRoe. Like, out of their own free will, people decided to spend the money, join, and for a while it was really good, and then it wasn't. And I'm not talking about, like, of course, when they started selling faulty stuff and not refunding people, I'm not talking about that.
There were some issues that, like, the defective, the smelly, the this, the that, that you can't send back, no, that is bad business practice, not defending.
And they should be sued for that, and they were, and yes, people and hopefully got their money.
Right, and they should have been refunding that from the outset.
From the beginning.
Yes. Because that's really fucking disgusting.
But when we talk about, like, the culture around LuLaRoe and how, like, all these... There's still people who sell LuLaRoe and all these, you know, former LuLaRoe girls are like, you're crazy, you're in a cult. Like, and this might be a very hot take, but I think you've said this before. Just because you make something into a cult doesn't make it a cult.
Right, just because you got sucked into something, like, nobody was forcing you to do anything. Like, you made it your entire life and now you're embarrassed and so you want to turn around and take a shit on the whole thing and call it, you know, these crazy extreme terms, doesn't make it those crazy extreme terms.
Yeah, so that was like the one thing I didn't like about the documentary was, like, I don't know how to say it. It's like, I don't really feel like for a while LuLaRoe was a bad thing.
No, there was,
and they were mishandled, of course, because these two people, Mark and Deanne, don't know how to run a business, let alone a $1 billion
right.
business.
And there was those product issues that we discussed. There were definitely ethical things, like the which we discussed, retiring husbands and like,
yeah,
just the sort
the
of
the home woman, like, yeah, give everything to your husband,
right? But like, these are grown women, as they said so many times on the show, college educated,
right?
You know, like, they have families, like, they're, it's, and they enter into something, and you should be able to parse out, you know, this piece I like, this piece I don't.
Yeah, so I just don't think it's fair to say that, like, because you got carried away and you're in this situation, like,
and
it's Mark and Deanne's fault.
In something.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just didn't agree
with... No, and also that it's MLMs in general, because MLMs are legal, and a lot of people really enjoy... I mean, every single... There's millions of people involved in MLMs, and, like, they're entering on their own accord. Their own free will. Like, so there's obviously some merit to them, especially if you like the product. Now, everyone keeps saying the issue is you shouldn't get paid for...
You shouldn't have to pay to get started, and you shouldn't...
Well, you have to buy the product if you want to sell it.
And you shouldn't have to... You really can't be making money based on how many people you bring into the company.
That's what I was going to say, the second part. But having to buy the product in order to sell it, like, yeah. And you know what? If you want, the barrier to entry is kind of high, and that should actually push people away from doing it, you know? So the crazier it is, like, the more you'd be like, why the fuck would I do that?
Yeah.
So if you want to, if you're really want to do it, fine. No, the second piece is, like, that you make money based on other people's purchases, because... There's a difference between making money for recruiting someone to just bringing them in. Because when you work at a big corporation and you refer someone for a job, you get a big fat referral bonus. Mm-hmm. How is that? Is that a pyramid scheme?
No. That's actually a very interesting point.
So if you bring someone in to the MLM, they start selling, you should get a one-time, if that's how the business wants to, you get a one-time referral bonus. That's a normal business practice.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be making money off of what those their sales people have spent.
That's unethical. You're right.
Right. So, but, like, it does seem like there are ways to have an, like, there's a reason why.
There should be a way to have an ethical MLM.
That's successful, that, like, yes, the people who were early days, first employees at Google make way more.
No, they're retired. They own islands in the south of France. Like,
then the you know, the 8,000th employee. Than the 10,000th employee.
No, I agree. And honestly, like, of course, there are, like, toxic things that go on in MLMs. But I just think, like, the documentary was just taking major... What's the phrase? When you take...
Advantage?
Not advantage, but, like, thank you. But, like, when you, like, say something that's, like...
Liberties.
Yes! Oh, my God. You're a queen. Like, I just think they were taking liberties in, like, the blame. Like, of course, the company was faulty. But I think that, like, if you got to, like, such a bad place, like, it's not Mark and Deanne's. Not everything can be Mark and Deanne's fault. Where's the personal accountability?
Yes. And also, if there
we are grown, educated women who, on our own volition, entered into this. Like, we are not robots.
If there is something more nefarious about MLMs than what I'm understanding... I just watched a whole documentary that attempted to explain it to me. So why didn't it come through? That's on the documentary. If there's, like, more, no, but and I'm sure people message me, but no, but, like, LuLaRue was doing this. I'm like, then why wasn't that in the 4-part documentary that I fucking sat through on Amazon Prime, a company with very questionable business practices towards their lower level employees?
That's true.
Sus.
So that's Jackie's hot take on MLMs. Honestly, don't add us. Like, just let it go, okay? Unless you agree with us. That's our show, everyone. Hope you have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts, find us. The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you've still made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. You are now a part of the Society Season 2. And to let us know that you are a true toaster who listens to the end of the episodes, drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram. How about the crown? Because we've talked a lot about royalty, the crown, Downton Abbey. Give me a crown today. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.